be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Join me as we pray. Father, we do thank you for the word of God. Thank you that we were able to share this word itself, but a lot of other stuff with the children all week here. And we look today to you for wisdom in knowing how to apply this passage to our lives personally. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, certainly it's been a great week. Thank you for allowing us to spend some time with your children, for trusting us with your children. And we were entrusted this week with showing little kids, little children, what Jesus is like. You know, a lot of people in today's world don't know these things that all these children learned this week. Not a secret, but not too many people talking about that. But we're not angels like Everett read about, who showed John the Lamb of God, Jesus, as well as heaven itself. We talked to the children this week about the two H's, where people go after they die. And the one is hell. And that is where people go who don't know Jesus as their Savior. They say no to Jesus their entire lives. And the other one is heaven, positive side, where people receive Jesus as their Savior. So heaven is promised to anyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ. And that will be their eternal home with God, with Jesus. So we're going to take this look at John 14 today. And we're going to find Jesus' disciples who were bewildered and discouraged because Jesus had just told them that he was going away and they couldn't come with him. You know, a lot of our children on Friday were pretty sad because it was the last day of vacation Bible school. It's going to be another whole year before they can do that again. But Jesus' disciples were even sadder in a deeper way, because they loved being with Jesus. They loved listening to how he spoke and the things that he did. And now that time was going to end, they were shocked and they were stunned. Of course, they had questions. To answer their questions, Jesus gave them several commands, as well as explanations about what heaven is like in order to comfort them, those guys in that time, as well as us. John 14, 1 through 6 is one of the most comforting passages in the Bible. So today let's look at three thoughts about heaven. Three thoughts about heaven. The first thought, heaven is a real place. Look at chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms." Well, heaven is not the product of someone's imagination or the most recent computer game. It's a place where God the Father dwells. It's a place where Jesus is. Jesus calls it his Father's house. It's home for Christians. It's our last permanent, unchanging address after we go to be with Jesus, where we will feel comfortable forever. And Jesus speaks of it as if, of course, it's real. He was there. And, you know, he's going there and he's preparing a dwelling place prepared for believers. It's going to be more beautiful than anything we have here, of course. And there are going to be enough of them for everybody. In order to comfort his disciples, Jesus turns to the whole group of them and states negative and positive commands. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. And you know, they were already troubled. They were already agitated. And Jesus tells them to cut that out. Cut it out. Don't let it happen. They were to put their faith into action and take responsibility for the condition of their hearts by firmly trusting in God the Father and Jesus his Son. And when they were doing that, they could relieve this trouble that they felt. You know, according to the Greek text, when we believe in Christ, the word there is pistuo in Greek, we are believing into him. Into him is the literal way the Greek says it. The Greek word pistuo, to believe or to trust, always takes this Greek preposition for into rather than just in. It's an active faith or trust that Jesus calls us to. You know, imagine if you believe that your car will take you home, how are you going to get home after you leave here? Just by thinking about it in your mind? No, what do you got to do? You got to go out, you got to start your car, and you got to get in it, and you got to go home. When we believe in Christ, we believe into Christ, we trust ourselves to him totally. The game is over.
Jesus won.
Second thought, heaven is a loving place. Look at verses 2 through 4. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. So the second thought, heaven is a loving place. It's a real place, and it's a loving place. You know, since heaven is the Father's house, it must be a place of love and joy, where there's not going to be any death, there's not going to be any sorrow, not going to be any crying, pain, or night even. It's a place that we long for. And it's a place where Jesus longs for us to be. It should be mutual. Him longing for us and us longing to be with him if we know him as Savior. And Jesus is there right now, getting it ready individually for us so that he can be with us and we can be with him. And Jesus comforts his disciples by promising them that even though he's going away, he's coming back for them. You know, this is the first place in the Bible where Jesus promises to come back and take us yonder, up there, away from here. It must have startled the disciples who had never heard about the rapture of Jesus. Jesus coming to take his church out of this place. You know, Jesus' return will be just as certain as his departure. Jesus was challenging his disciples to look beyond their current discouragements towards what is to come. And one of my dear friends was named Pastor Dean Risser. And this guy, you know, he had spent a lot of his life starting churches, a lot of his life sharing the gospel with people. He was an individual evangelist. And he would do anything to share Christ with people. And he always had a joke. He had a new joke every day. It was a dad joke. It wasn't funny, really, but it was a joke. And then he would also have a testimony about somebody he shared Jesus with that day. And I wasn't surprised when I went to his funeral, because I went up to the casket and I saw him laying there. And he had two things in his pockets. He had a tract that he wrote called the Bridge Tract. It's one of the most common ones we use today. And he also had a fork in the other pocket. And so, of course, we know why he had the tract, right? Because he wanted his body, his last time with people, to be a testimony to them about what Jesus, who Jesus is. And he also wanted them to have fun while they heard about it. You know, because he had gone to a lot of dinners in church. And they always told you at those dinners, you know, keep your fork, because the best is yet to come. So he knew, he was trying to tell people, The best, heaven, is yet to come. Game is over. Just won. So that's the first thought. Heaven is a real place. Second thought, heaven is a loving place. And the last part is heaven is an exclusive place. Exclusive place. Verses 5 and 6 talk about this. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, the sad thing is that not everybody is going to heaven. All are invited. Whosoever believes can have eternal life. But many choose not to come. And Thomas, one of the disciples, he always took what Jesus said in the Bible. A lot of disciples made this mistake in the Gospel of John of Jesus talking about spiritual things, and he thought they were local. Like, Jesus, what road should I take to where you're going? And so he's asking Jesus for direction. How can we know the way? And Jesus, full of grace, like always, took the time to explain it to him. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by going through me. So Jesus said that he's the way. The article's there, meaning the only way. There is only one way, and that way is Christ. He doesn't just show us the way. He is the way. And, you know, a lot of people try other things in order to get to heaven. They try, well, if I go to communion, I'll go to heaven. If I get baptized, I'll go to heaven. If I join a church, I'll go to heaven. It doesn't work. Only Christ can bring us to God. Either we have Christ or we don't have Christ. But Jesus is the way. Secondly, Jesus said, I am the truth. He isn't saying that he tells the truth, although Jesus always told the truth. And that's different than everybody else we know, right? I mean, all of your friends are going to lie to you sometime. They just will. Sometimes they don't mean to, but they will. Jesus is the truth, and he's the standard by which we can tell if someone else is telling the truth. And not only that, finally, Jesus says he is the life. He is the source of life. And he's the giver of life. If we want life, we have to have Jesus. And all the other ways that people try to get to heaven are dead end streets. If you've ever driven a truck and you go onto a dead end street and you've got to back it all the way out of there, you know how bad that is. But no one comes to the Father except through him. Jesus is the only way. Knowing Jesus, who represents what God is like to us, allows us to know our Heavenly Father. You know, one of my friends is a guy named Joe Kine, and he leads a ministry to share Jesus with the Amish. And what he often does is when he speaks to Amish people, he uses a pencil. And he asks them to focus on the pencil as he speaks with them. Because when talking to these people, they sometimes get their eyes on all the surrounding stuff in order to get to heaven. They think, oh, if I dress differently, I'll go to heaven. If I have a nice buggy, I'll go to heaven. Or if I trust in my community around me, I'll go to heaven. But Joe always brings them back to the pencil. He said, look at the pencil. You have to put your faith in Christ alone to get to heaven. Jesus is the way. It's like a flowing river whose directs us where that river is going, but also is the current itself takes us to heaven. Salvation is not obtainable in any other way. There's only one way. Jesus is that exclusive way. So the game is over. Thank you so much for entrusting your children to us this week. Game over.